heavenly day.
Welcome, folks, to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. I'm coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this December 14th. Where has 2017 gone? My goodness. The year is all but over. And wow, is all I can say. What a year it's been. good, kind of like that old Western, the good, the bad, and the ugly, but I'd say mainly good. As the year starts to wind down, the calendar year anyway. Beautiful day today. Had some snow this morning. It was a rough morning, but it ended up nice. And oh, the stars out are just as beautiful as they can be. I noticed on the walk over here from the house over to the Radio Ranch broadcast room here at the office. But let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer before we go any further, and then we'll have a few more things to talk about. Well, good evening, Lord, and thank you for this day that you give us. Thank you for this opportunity to be here at the Radio Ranch microphone, Lord, to be able to share and to have fellowship with your remnant and with you. Father, to be able to read from your word and to share the insight that you've given, Lord, to read your word and to see how it applies to us today. Father, to draw nearer to you in reading your word. And in on bended knee, Lord, saying, here I am, here we are, Lord, your remnant. What is it you would have us to do? Oh, Lord, what is it that you would tell us through your word, through the writings of old, Lord, that were written down for our learning? And so, Lord, we ask, Lord, what is it you would have us to do? What is it you would have us to learn and to see? Lord, we desire your will. Father, we love good and we hate evil. Father, help us to remember that. Let that be first and foremost on our thoughts, Lord. We love our families and we hate anything that would dare try to harm them. Lord, we love your remnant and we hate anything that would come against them. Lord, we love you and we hate anything that would deny you or come against you. So, Lord, help us to remember that. Father, thank you for this day, the moisture, the snow we had, Lord, the safety in travel. Father, thank you that your cup, Lord, the cup of blessings that you give us, Lord, just overflows. It truly does. Lord, guide and direct my thoughts and my words as we go through this tonight. Father, I pray your blessings on the remnant, Lord, those that call you Lord, in not only in word, but in deed and action as well. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name of Nazareth, I pray. Amen. And amen. Folks, we do have the phone lines open tonight. Again, it's a live program here from the Radio Ranch just outside of Laramie, Wyoming. And the phone lines are open if you want to call. 307-745-5913. And we'll do all we can to get you on the air. Ben Printing started Friday, went down, worked with Jason Friday and all week this week, wrapped it up yesterday toward the end of the day. Volume 9, Dragon Slayer, the Scriptures for America, Dragon Slayer newsletter, Volume 9. That's 9 out this year. That's for us, that's a pretty good job. That's what we got. We're of course, going to shoot for more next year. We would like to have it out. Just as we say, it's a monthly newsletter. We'd like to have it out every month instead of just some months. And so, but it got mailed first thing this morning, and what a power-packed newsletter it is. From John's Ramrod article that has in bold, "No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper." Amen to that. Talks about a story about Monopoly, and we also have the January 2018 Bible reading plan. That is one thing this ministry has done for years. Pastor Peter saw the importance of that and certainly put that out, made that available. And the last several years, we've included it in the newsletter or mailed it out separate at great expense, I might add. But with January just around the corner, we do have a new Bible reading plan. The Bible reading plan for 2018 is a little different than this year and last year in that it starts with Genesis, of course, but it also starts in Matthew. So we have a reading from the Old Testament and a reading from the New Testament. And I'd like to challenge you as we go into wrap up this 2017 calendar year and we step into the 2018 calendar year, to make a commitment. No, not a New Year's commitment. Not that you're going to... No, I'm not going to ask you to make a commitment to lose 20 pounds. I'm not going to ask you a commitment to drop two waist sizes. I'm not going to make a ask you to make a commitment to earn more money in 2018. If you want to do those things, that's fine and dandy. But I do want to challenge you to read your Bible. You will draw nearer to God in a much more positive way than having to draw near to God as a result of a struggle or a tragedy. And so I do encourage you. It's a good way to stay prayed up. And as well, when you read through this, as I was, you know, we kind of research, and as we were putting this 2018 Bible reading plan together, I couldn't help but think, you know, reading in the Old Testament and then reading in the New immediately following, that if we do that, I really feel that it will add and give us insight and let us see as we read in the New Testament, especially in the Gospels, the words of Christ. And but when we read in the Old Testament, many times I think if we will look, if we will pray for wisdom, if we will pray for discernment and understanding in our reading, then I think that God will show us, the Holy Spirit will show us Christ in the Old Testament as well as in the New. And so I think with this 2018 Bible reading plan that if we look at it that way, and I challenge you to do that, that when we read these Old Testament stories, many times we will see, it may make us think, hey, I've read that in the New Testament. Or didn't Jesus quote that maybe when we're reading Isaiah or something like that? And so it's what we do as Christians. It's what we should be doing. And if you want to tell me that, well, I've read that Bible. I've read it. Oh, yeah, I read it last year. I read it 2 years ago. Well, good. Good for you. I'm fantastic. Have you just arrived? Do you not want to grow some more? Has your life not changed? Maybe how about your spouse? Have you grown? Has your spouse grown? Maybe now you have children. Maybe now you have grandchildren. Maybe now you have more grandchildren. I can tell you, when I first had started having grandchildren, when my children started having children, 5-6 years ago, it sure changed my perspective in reading this Bible. Now, I still have children at home. And so, many ways, you know, the scriptures certainly still apply when it talks about how we are as a husband and how we are to be as fathers. But getting a little older, and my perspective is changing. The way I see things, my understanding is changing, hopefully growing a little bit in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And hopefully growing and maybe being a little better example now than maybe 5 years ago as a result of that growth. Maybe a better godly example. I would sure like to think so. And so we have to continue to grow. We do. The Word, although it stays the same, it is a living Word. And as we grow, we can. We have the opportunity. It's not a guarantee. But we have the opportunity to grow in our understanding, to grow in what, dare we call it, wisdom we might have. We have the opportunity maybe to grow in the discernment as we get through the challenges, as we get through our life's experience. And so it all comes back to reading the Word. And that's what I want to encourage you to do, is to read the Word. And so, because if you will, you know, follow the Bible reading plan if you can. It's not a lot. Monday, January 1st for January 2018 includes Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3 and Matthew chapters 1, 2, and 3. And that follows through till January 9th, the same three chapters in Genesis as in Matthew. And then, of course, it just goes on from there. But about three chapters a day. And if you will do that, then you will more than read the Bible through in a year. And so we encourage you to do that. If you just work out for some manufacturer, you work for Walmart, if you're a truck driver, your employer is not going, more than likely, to encourage you to read the Bible. Your family may not. If you go to a different church, they may not. I don't know. But we're going to. We will continue to. Because it is what we are to do as a people. We are to be reading the Bible. So another change we're doing is, the costs are up. And so we are not going to mail the complete 2018 Bible reading calendar out. We send thousands out every year. If you want it, let us know and we'll send it to you. We can email it to you. I can put it in the mail to you. We do have a little cutout on page 6 of the Volume 9 Dragon Slayer newsletter that got mailed out today, December 14th. And if you would like the 2018 Bible reading plan, then cut this little out on page 6, fill it out, put your name and address in there, send it in, and we put an envelope in the newsletter as well. You can use that and say, hey, I'd like that Bible reading plan, and we'll send it to you. We will have it available on the website at scriptures4america.org, but with printing costs escalating, postage costs, postage rates are going up first of the year. They do just about every year. A first-class stamp is going up to 50 cents. And to send this newsletter out, it's about 2 ounces, and it costs more than that to do that. And so we are following the lead of the Holy Spirit, doing the best we can to be good stewards of the blessings and the tithes and the donations that we get. And so after some prayer and discussion, that's what we decided. That if you would like this Bible reading plan, then all you have to do is ask. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Well, if you don't ask for the Bible reading plan, we're not going to send it to you. How about that? And so so that's there. It is in this newsletter that's going out, but there's no guarantee that it'll be in future newsletters there. Volume 9 newsletter has an excellent article from Brother John. He brought some of it at the pulpit just a few weeks ago. It's called, It Is Time to Cut Off Their Power. And it truly is. So I encourage you to read this article when you get the newsletter. If you're not on our Dragon Slayer newsletter mailing list, well, shame on you. You should be. We don't charge for it. We don't send you a bill for $29.95 or $9.95 a month or anything like that. If you'd like to get it, we'll sure freely send it to you. And so our address, if you'd like that, is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. We'll be working on the online version of this tomorrow, so hopefully early next week we will have it posted to the website, scriptures4america.org, and so you can go there and see that. Also have a new prayer for the winter, new 2017 winter prayer, and so we encourage you to take a look at that. It's in the newsletter. Read it there. Also wanted to just give you a little hint. We have some really good vitamin D3 that's advertised there. Much more potent, much more the international units than anything I've seen at the health food stores or even the online stores that you can buy your herbs and your vitamins at. With the flu going around, we sure don't recommend you get a flu shot, but there's tons of information about how vitamin D3 will help you beat the flu. So if you want some more information on that, you can contact us here at the office. I know Jason on his Tuesday night programs has talked about this several times. We did have a full article in the newsletter not too long ago. And so if you want to be preventative as well as get better, repair, possibly that something that the flu or whatever is brought upon you, then we do have a really good vitamin D3 available. So we have that. One other thing that's real exciting to me, and then I'm going to get into our reading plan today, Deuteronomy, is we got hold of a book. Used to have it, used to carry it years ago, and then it got out of print, and it was the Milk Book. And it has a new title, same book, but a new title, new print. It's called The Raw Truth About Milk. And it was first written back in 1984. I first read it in 1992, about the same time we came on this ministry. That was just about that time. Excellent book on just what it says, the raw truth about milk. And so, folks, if you are not familiar with the difference between raw milk and the stuff they have on the shelf in the store, you need to read this book. I like one thing it says in there. We included it in the ad. It says the book should be read by only two groups of people, those that drink milk and those that don't. And so I can tell you, when we read this book back in 1992, changed my life and my family's life forever. For the better. For the better. You know, we've had 9 children, and praise God, none of them ever had any types of ear problems, any types of needing tubes in their ears, but they were all raised on raw milk. And some of them are still on raw milk today. And so I encourage you, if you haven't read this, we had back orders that we've had for 5 or 6 years, and we sent them the book. We sent it out. So if you'd like that, it's only $20, including shipping. The Milk Book, The Raw Truth About Milk. And I would encourage you. You read this, you will only want to drink raw, natural, unpasteurized, unhomogenized milk. And you can find it. You can find it. We have a little dairy that's not 10 miles from the church, and it's one of many that are down in Colorado. And there are most states, I will say, that you can find someone that's got a milk cow, and that they're milking, maybe to feed some calves, some bum calves, or maybe just for themselves. And so even if you can't find it on the internet, or you don't see it advertised at the feed store, if you do a little work, you do a little research, get off the couch, and it might cost you a little bit. It might cost you some time, maybe a phone call or two, or asking around, and maybe developing a relationship with a local farmer of similar mind and thought. And you might be able to get you a quarter a gallon of this good raw energy milk. So I would recommend it. I've been recommending it since 92. My family's been on it, and we're not exactly what you'd call a sickly bunch, I can tell you that. So praise God. We certainly give God all the glory for that. But drink the milk in this land that He has given us, this land of milk and honey. And He didn't give us a land of pasteurized, homogenized 2% stuff. And so just think about that. Just think about that. Maybe there's a little something to that. So anyway, Volume 9, Dragon Slayer, packed full of information and some stuff to help you out health-wise, vitamin-wise, supplement-wise, and hopefully you're thinking about doing those things and doing something about those things. If we're not going to watch what we eat, if we're not going to be concerned and educated about maybe the supplements that we need, who's going to do that for us? So, anyway, well, December 14th, phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. If you want to give a call in. Like I said, was down printing the newsletter this week, working with Jason down there, so certainly away from the computer. And one thing that sure benefited me is I was away from the, just the yuck of the news. Don't watch it on, don't have cable TV, but just seeing it on the computer is bad enough. The emails that get sent around and, oh boy, have you heard what Trump's doing now? Oh boy, have you heard what Clinton's doing now? Oh boy, have you heard what Saudi Arabia's doing now? Oh boy, have you heard what ISIS is doing now? Same thing they were doing last month. Same thing they were doing the month before. Same thing they were doing last year. Same stuff, different day. And what a blessing to be able to step away from that and just concentrate on printing the newsletter, getting that done and out. So I sure don't want to get back into that habit of, or back into a habit of checking that news and playing that that what if. Oh no, what now? What now? So, well, I did, when I read this in Deuteronomy this morning, got up and been trying to get up early and read my Bible in the morning. Get a cup of coffee and sure dark outside, make sure the fireplace is going, it's been a little cool, and just read our two or three chapters. Start the day off right. And so I would encourage you, if you're not, and this is just between you and God, I'm just trying to help you out, but if you're not reading the Bible consistently, maybe not every day, but at least consistently, more days per week than you're not. How about that? Okay? And there's 7 days in a week, so that means 4 days. If you're not reading the Bible at least 4 days a week on a consistent basis, well, if you're a Christian, you need to be doing that. It's as simple as that. So I encourage you, get up a little early. If you have to set your alarm for 15 minutes earlier in the morning, that's about all it takes. Get up, get woke up, get your face washed, get your cup of coffee, and find you a little quiet place and get your light on and just, you know, I'd encourage you to say a quick prayer, you know, for God, the Holy Spirit to lead you, to speak to you through His Word, to guide and direct you and to prepare you for the day. We sure encourage you to get prayed up every morning, you know, the Lord's Prayer and praying on, putting on the full armor of God, praying it on your family, praying for the remnant, praying for our leaders, praying for us here at the ministry. We pray for you, the remnant. And so we are to do that. We mentioned it last night on the Wednesday night prayer meeting that if you're in need of healing, James 5 says pray for others. Pray for others. Pray for one another, it says, so that you can be healed. So if you want to be healed, pray for the remnant. And if you want to be a good Christian, we need to prepare every day. Start your day the right way. Start it in prayer. Start it in His Word. Looked over this. Wanted to talk a little bit about it tonight. Today's Deuteronomy 29 and 30 and 31. And we're kind of seeing the end of Moses. His time is ending. You don't really read it exactly that way, but you know that that's happening. In Deuteronomy 29, they make a covenant. There was a covenant that was made with them at Horeb, the covenant that He would be their God and they would be their people. And so now it's almost like a renewing of the vows when you read through this. He says in verse 10 of Deuteronomy 29, "You stand today, all of you, before the Lord your God." And then he goes on that your chiefs, your tribes, your elders, your officers, even all the men of Israel, your little ones, with your wives, with the alien who is within your camps, from the one who chops your wood to the one who draws your water, that you may enter into the covenant with the Lord your God and into His oath, which the Lord your God is making with you today, in order that He may establish you today as His people. And again, He may be your God, just as He spoke to you and as He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so he goes on in, and he reminds him, of course, of all the blessings that God has brought upon him. He's brought him out of Egypt. He's fed him in the desert. He's given them water in the desert. And the signs, the things that, you know, it says your clothes have not worn out on you. Your sandals have not worn out on your feet. And so it's easy for us today to look back on that and say, well, my gosh, why didn't they see those blessings? Sometimes when you're living it, it's not as easy. You know, they complained was one thing. And that's one way we can stay away from not having God's blessings today, is not to complain about maybe the things we don't have. You know, they complained there, oh, at least we had leeks and onions in Egypt. Oh, at least we had graves in Egypt. And so, you see, they complained about what they didn't have, even if it was something as ridiculous as graves and leeks and onions. But if we'll turn that pessimism into optimism, not see the glass as only half empty, but see it that even if it is half empty, guess what? It means it's half full. And when we will look at it that way, we can be better than these children of Israel when they walked through the desert. And so it's a warning with the covenant. God's warning them through Moses, and then of course in Deuteronomy 30, you know, God is warning them what will happen. It's almost like you're getting ready for tomorrow's reading, the Song of Moses, because it is. He talks to them and he warns us of the blessings and the curses that he set before us. And oh, that these were taught in our public school system, and they should be taught in the private school system, and they should be taught in the home school system. You know, you can be prospered, you can be multiplied more than your fathers, it tells us here in Deuteronomy 30. But that's not for everybody, and that's not for just no matter what you do, that God will bless us. You know, when we are obedient, and that's something we really need to understand, and we see that when we read this word that does not change, this word that describes our God that is the same today as he was yesterday. And so God blesses those that honor him and that obey him, not that just believe in him. And we have touched base on that throughout the year, but there's so many in this Judeo-Christian time that just believe, and they think that's enough. There's a verse or two, what, there in Romans, oh, those that believe, you believe and you'll be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. But that's not the only verse in the Bible. You have to apply that belief to your life. And if you believe and then still live like a heathen, well, that belief don't do you any good. It says there, what, in James, that the demons believe and shudder. And I know you've heard me say that before, but we need to understand it, to have it as a good, solid foundation, not for something to argue with people about, but just to remind them. Just to remind them of what his word says. In verse 11, I want to read a little bit here. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11, he says, you know, so he's talked about the warnings, the blessings and the curses that'll come if we serve other gods or if we just serve him. And he talks about that the Lord will prosper you abundantly in all the work of your hands, in your offspring, in your cattle, in your produce, and he will rejoice over you for good. Well, if we do what he says so that he will rejoice over us for good, guess what else can happen? Well, he can rejoice over us for bad. That makes sense that he can if we don't do. But it truly is a book of hope. It's a book of warnings, and it's a writing of warnings, but it's also of hope. And so I hope you see that. Verse 11, Deuteronomy 30. For this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach. See, he didn't tell them they're wandering in the desert. What you have to do, folks, is you have to be able to go to the moon. And if you can go to the moon, I'll just pour the blessings out on you. That's not what God told them. It is not. He did not give them something that it says here that is out of reach. Verse 12, he says, it is not in heaven that you should say, who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it? In verse 13, he says, nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea? Who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it? Verse 14 says, but the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. In verse 15 he says, see, I've set before you today life and prosperity and death and adversity, and that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God may bless you in the land where you're entering to possess it. But if your heart turns away, and you'll not obey, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land. Verse 8:19 says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants, by loving the Lord your God, by, then in there, by, see the next verse? Obeying. By obeying his voice and holding fast to him. It's not too hard of a commandment. It's not something that is beyond the sea or beyond the heavens. When I walked across here tonight, it was dark, right before the top of the hour, go on the radio, and the stars are just, oh, they're so bright out there tonight. No moon shining. The stars are bright, looking to the east, seeing Orion's belt out there and the Little Dipper up a little higher, and then back over to the north, of course, the North Star, Polaris, and the Big Dipper, is it's very low on the horizon this time of the year, to the north. But as it's rotating around it, you know, that's not where this commandment that God gives us is, that we have to go out into the heavens to get it or across the seas. He says here, verse 14, we read it, but the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it. Have you ever read John? And again, that's why I encourage you, when you read a little bit of the Old Testament and a little bit of the New Testament, well, it'll bring to mind, hey, wait a minute, what is that talking about? The word, he says here, he's talking about a commandment to love God, and of course the next thing is love our neighbor. But he says, but the commandment is near you. It's not too difficult for you. It's not out of reach. It's very near you, in your mouth and in your heart. And it's that word. It's the word that's near you. When we read in John, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh, verse 14 tells us, and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, full of grace and truth. Is that what God was talking about back here in Deuteronomy 30? The word is very near you. You just have to choose it. You have to make that choice. And it's still that way today. It truly is. You can choose life in order that you may live. And not just for you, but your descendants as well. We seem to have forgotten that as a people. That the things that we do, the choices that we make, or the things we don't do, they will impact our children, our grandchildren, and those that come after them, our great-grandchildren. We are to choose life and not these passing pleasures of sin. Then in Deuteronomy 31, when we read through it, Moses is, he's 120 years old. He says, hey, my time is up. Joshua's the one that's going to, you know, he's passing the mantle on. He says, Joshua is the one that God has chosen to continue on. See, we have to remember the previous generation had all but, I mean, they died off. They died in the wilderness. This is a new generation that he's talking to here. And he encourages them as well. Here in verse 7, Moses calls to Joshua and he says, be strong and courageous, for you will go in with the people into the land. God will be with you. He goes ahead of you. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. In verse 8, he will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. And see, when we are doing our best today to honor God, yes, doing works, obeying his word, hating evil, loving good, having concern for the brethren, for one another, and not just saying when we see someone hungry or go and be filled, brother, I've prayed for you. But you know, sometimes you got to get down and dirty and do something, even if it's just passing out a meal or a bottle of water. When we do that, then here in Deuteronomy 7:8 that we read, as it says again, do not fear or be dismayed. He will not fail or forsake you. Well, see, that promise is for us today. We have that today, and we can have, you know, the song talks about the blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Yes, he paid the price, but we still have to obey. You just can't get around that. You just can't. And no, it's not the works that give us the salvation. It's not the works that bring us into his kingdom. But we do the works because we are saved. We do the works because we know it is pleasing to our Lord. And we do the works because I know if I do the best I can, I don't have to fear or be dismayed. I know Romans 8:28 is there. And I know it's right, and I know it applies to me, and brother, it applies to you. If you're doing the best you can with this, if you're turning away from sin, if you're not going, as they, in the Old Testament, after the false gods, after the false people, the people that blasphemed and cursed God, oh, they believed him. They just didn't want anything to do with him or his people, except to bring him into sin. So if you're turning away from that, if when you read in his word that he says, hey, don't associate with liars, those bad morals that those people have will corrupt you. So when you read that, if you just say, well, my beer drinking, poker playing buddies, they're okay, you know, but if they've got the bad morals, they're going to corrupt you. And so if you just stay with them, well, you may need to fear a little bit, and you will be dismayed. But if you make a choice, and I just use that as an example that comes to mind. If you make a choice and, you know, you let them know, listen, I don't appreciate that language. Matter of fact, I'm offended by it. And if they laugh at you, well, don't hang around with them anymore. You have a choice to do that or not. It could be something as simple as that. You know, reading Deuteronomy earlier this week comes to mind. Of course, Deuteronomy 28, in yesterday's reading, the blessings and the consequences of disobedience. But back in Deuteronomy 26, it's called offering the first fruits. It says in verse 2, you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground and offer it. Verse 10 says, now behold, I have brought the first of the produce of the ground, which you, O Lord, have given me. And I've set it down before you, and I worship before you. You and the Levite and the alien, we will all rejoice. In verse 13, you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the sacred portion from my house. See, this is this is what they were to do then in obedience with the tithe, with the first fruit, not with hopefully something's left over. And when they did that, I encourage you, go back and read Deuteronomy 26. You want to talk about how that ties in with Malachi and how it ties in with Deuteronomy 28, especially Malachi. It certainly does. There's an order to things. God wants to be first. He wants to be first in our day when the day starts. He wants to be first in our heart. He is a jealous God. We see that all through here in Deuteronomy. Well, guess we had no phone calls tonight. Still got a couple minutes left here, but the number's open. Lines are open. Number's 307-745-5913. You know, tomorrow's Bible reading plan is, and all of this, of course, is just leading up to this. This song that he gives Moses, and Moses learns it, and he teaches it. I don't know that he sang it to him. I doubt he did that, but I don't think it's that kind of song. But I encourage it. Tomorrow's Bible reading, I definitely read it. Read it over again. It's the summary. It truly is of God dealing with his people. I like here when he says in verse 36 of tomorrow, Deuteronomy 32, he says, I will have compassion on his servants. And his is capitalized. See, he says, I will have compassion on Jesus' servants. How about that? That's who he's talking about. And that's after the people have fallen away and when they go to return. You see something like that, God will have compassion on, capital H, his servants. And yes, today that's talking about the servants of God, the servants of Jesus Christ. The slaves is another term for there, the slaves of Christ. How about that? And remember, if we're not a slave of sin, if we have been obedient, and we follow the Master, he no longer calls us servant or slave. Remember what he calls us then? He calls us friend. And so, if we are a servant, if we are his servant, well, it says the Lord will vindicate his people and will have compassion on his servant. So, as a servant of Christ, I know that God has compassion on me and on all of those that truly serve him. If that ain't a good feeling, if that isn't something to get out of reading his word, oh Lord, you have compassion on me? You will vindicate me? Vengeance is yours. It says that right here. He says that here in verse 35. Deuteronomy 32, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and retribution. Well, guess what? If it's his, I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about bringing vengeance or retribution. The Lord will take care of it. How about that? Don't think that doesn't let you sleep good at night, knowing you don't have to worry about that. But Lord, so you get some people, oh, but Lord, you don't know what these people have said about me. You don't know the money they've stolen from me. Hey, if we're a friend of Christ, God will take care of that. That's what this Old Testament Deuteronomy 32 tells me. Of course, I've read it a few times in the New Testament too. Well, thanks for tuning in and listening to my ramblings, my talking about this Deuteronomy. It spoke to me this morning when I read it, a Bible reading plan. I've always loved the Song of Moses, Deuteronomy 32. I encourage you to read it. I'm looking forward to reading it again in the morning. Verse 43 of it says, "Rejoice, O nations, with his people, for he will avenge the blood of his servants, and will render vengeance on his adversaries, and will atone for his land and his people." See, it's the adversaries that better fear. It's those that better fear. Well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for joining us for this Thursday night broadcast on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. And I want to encourage you, if you don't get our newsletter, we'll have it online next week. But if you'd like to mail it to you, just let us know. Our email is preacher@sfaw.org. You can send us an email and say, "Hey, send me that newsletter," and we'll do it. We can mail it to you as well as send it to you via email. Well, God bless all those that are His. Thanks for tuning in. And hey, come back Saturday morning. We'll be here live, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, and 9 a.m. on the East Coast for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Hey, we'll go out with a Carl Klang. Psalms 83. Amen, amen.
Do not be silent, God, or unresponding. Do not remain at rest, O mighty one. For now your foes arise and make a clamor. Your bitter enemies lift up the head. Against your people now they plot in secret. They meet to work against your hidden ones. They say, "Let's go up now and end their nation. The name of Israel shall be no more." Together they conspire in deadly earnest. Against you they have made their covenant. The Ishmaelites are there, the tents of Edom. The men of Moab with Hagarines are there. See Jebel Amalek with men of Ammon. Behold Philistia and them of Tyre. For Asher too has come and joined their forces. They are the power of the sons of Lot. Treat them like Midian, like Jabin's army. Treat them like Sisera at Kishon's brook. At Endor they were all annihilated. And they became as dung upon the ground. Like Oreb make their chiefs their lords, like Zeba, who thought they would possess the land of God. My God, oh, make them be like whirling dust clouds. Make them like bits of chaff before the wind, like fire that burns the woods, like flames of lightning. Pursue them with your storms and strike.
This is Pastor Peters informing you. You're listening to the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. We do a lot of things around here. Another Untold Story is just one of them. Another Untold Story is heard on over 200 radio stations every day, 7 days a week. And you hear us at Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When I say us, I'm talking about those that are part of the network broadcasting. If you go to sfawbn.com, you'll see the different ones that are broadcasting on this network. And I want you to know we're broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all around the world by satellite, internet, shortwave radio, and regular radio. And we do it without commercials, without begging for funds, without money drives. And you might say, well, how do you do it? We pray. And I've been praying lately that some of you will start supporting us. Some of you that have been receiving from us need to understand that there's a law of God given in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11, that basically says if we give, let me read it to you, if we sowed spiritual things in you, is it too much if we should reap material things from you? In other words, is it too much that we get support from you, that we can continue reaching more with forbidden truth? Our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535. Should the Spirit so convict you to support us, please know we need your prayers and financial support. Or go to our website, scripturesforamerica.org, and you can donate right there at the site through PayPal. If you want a special treat for donating, ask for our book, Revealing the Man of Sin. It's a booklet that will reveal to you who he is, what he is, why he is, and even his name. But you'll have to request it when you send support to us at Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, or scripturesforamerica.org.